Shem Yishmael Parshas Mishpatim. Tavshin Ayin Vav. So how does the Parsha begin? Bokertov Rabbiyoni. How does the Parsha begin? The Parsha begins with Eved Ivri. He's sick. Who's? Shmuel Tzvi, yeah? Maslow Shmuel Tzvi. You landing the Shabbos?
I'm landing really
well. He's sick. Eved Ivri V'gomer. When a person acquires an Eved Ivri, and Rashi goes on, of course there's multiple ways one could become an Eved Ivri. Rashi says, maybe you're sold by Beis Din, a person could choose to sell himself as an Eved Ivri, there may be differences in halacha. But the Pashas is, we're talking about a person, v'nimchar b'gnei vaso, he stole, he's going to be sold, and now he's an Eved Ivri. What's the Indian of an Eved Ivri? Why don't we call him an Eved Yisrael? Eved Yisrael, he's a Jew. Eved Ivri, all of a sudden we're back to Avram Ivri. What's going on here? Very strange. So says the Shem Yishmuel, he has it in a few places throughout the Parsha, Tafresh Ayin Aleph, Ayin Dalet, Ayin Vav. Look at the first piece of Mishpatim. He quotes from his father, as he is wont to do. We see that often, that happens. He quotes from Avni Nezer. Diktek lama ksiv kan lashon ivri b'shinoi lashon mikol haTorah diksiv b'lashon Yisrael. Why not call him an Eved Yisrael? So says the Avni Nezer, my father explained, dinei b'zohar kadosh. Now I looked up this Zohar, it's in Parshas Emor. It's a little hard to understand exactly why he's bringing it here, but let's try. I hope I'm not going to steer you down the wrong path. The pasuk in Yoshua says, be'eivra anar Yoshua avoseicha me'olam. Be'eivra anar, on the other side of the river, our forefathers dwelt me'olam. Now what does that mean, me'olam? Says the Zohar, ma'ika boy hacha. What's this doing here? Why all of a sudden here, say for Yoshua, all of a sudden they mentioned, oh, by the way, From the good old days, Eber Anar has always been our place. Ella says the Zohar la'achzah chachmesa. It's to teach us a davar chachma. Me Eber Anar me'olam. What does that mean? I think I'm actually understanding it now better as I'm saying it. Elahu nar olam ikri. That nar is synonymous with olam. Oh. What does that mean? I think what he's saying is that a yid always has a kesher to being Aver Lanar. And that's what the pasuk is really saying. Be'Aver Hanar Yashru Aseichem Me'olam. Not Me'olam like from once upon a time, but Me'olam forever. Forever a yid has a sheichus to Aver Hanar. What's the Indian of Aver Hanar? Now he's going to go on to explain. I think that's what he's going to do. V'Shem Ivri, who al Shem Aver Hanar, V'Hashem Ahu, Mora al Mohus Yisrael Shehem Mipnimius Ume'olam. Hacherus. The concept of a Jew being Eivr HaNar, the concept, the Zohar tells us that Nar is linked to Olam, to something eternal, is all being Megatten, the fact that our Sheikh is to that place is eternal, it's all being Meramis to us that the essence of a Jew is eternal, but more than that. I'm sorry, I didn't put a title on the top of the page. The title of today's shiur is called Being a Pnimi. Being a Pnimi. What does it mean to be a pnimi? That the Mahos Yisrael shehimi pnimius ume'olam acheris. That the essence of a Jew is that what? Is that he is a pnimi, that he's from a place of pnimius, and he's from a redeemed world. Me'olam, he's always Eivr HaLanar. Ah, sometimes it looks like he's getting chased around, he's going into Golas, he's all over the place. No, but Lamaisa, he's Me'eivr HaLanar. He's from a place of cheris. So what do we say to the Eved Ivri, who currently is in captivity? We're not going to call you an Eved Yisrael. We want to remind you that even when you're in captivity, you're a free person. You're internally redeemed. And eventually you're going to get out. Your captivity is not permanent. Therefore, an Eved Ivri, by definition, Ivri is being ramis to the Pnimius Shavo, to the Cheiris Shavo. And therefore, it has to be that he can't sell himself to slavery, into slavery endlessly. Even if he chooses to extend it, as we'll see, at some point it comes to an end. When Yovel comes, it comes to an end. Why? Let's pause here for a second and turn to page 3. The Chiddush HaArim, in this week's Parsha, has a vart that I think really expresses what he's trying to say here. That a Jew is what? I apologize for my photocopying. You got the last four digits of my social security number. Free of charge on page 3. 7366. Okay, so a few more numbers and you can destroy me. You could steal my identity.
Other multitasking.
Okay, says the Chiddush Erev in this week's Parsha, on page 3. Isa, Chazal, tell us, Ein Eved Ivri Noeg, Elav Is Mancha, Yovel Noeg. You can't have the concept in Halacha, you can't have the concept of Eved Ivri if you don't have a Yovel that's Poel. If the cycle of Yovel, if the 50-year cycle is not in effect, then the concept of Eved Ivri can't be in effect. Says the Chiddush Erev, why? It's a davar pashut. Haynu shelo nosim liYisrael shum avdus v'shum shibud el gishayesh takeaf muchan u'mezuman acheres. You can't put a Jew into slavery unless there's a means for him to get out. This is a klal gadol in Avodas Hashem. He's giving us a specific application of it, and we're connecting it to our parsha. But it's true on everything. There can be no galus unless there's a potential for geula. There could be no Yetzirah fighting against you unless it's possible for you to overcome that Yetzirah. Hashem won't put you, Hashem is always hikdim refuah lamaka. Hashem makes the medicine before he makes you sick. So therefore, Hashem can't put a Jew into avdus unless there's a potential for cheres. Yeah, you want to say something? V'chein kol gezerah v'tzarach mano letzlan. It's a very strong chizuk, this idea. That any gezerah, any difficulty, it's not possible to be put into a difficulty. Hashem plays by the rules. There can be no Eved Ivri. There can be no captivity. Unless it's a possibility for a person to emerge. So says the Shem Yishmuel back on page 1. So Be'etzem, if a Jew really Be'etzem is a free person, it can't be that what? That he can sell himself endlessly. It can only be a limited concept of an Eved Ivri. V'afsha ba'avonoseinu. Everyone see where we are back on page 1? The line that begins Hacheres, about 10 lines in. So maybe you'll say, well, how does he become an Eved at all? Okay, a turn of events led to the fact that now he's being sold as an Eved. But again, that's only superficially. Because a Jew, the Pnimius, we spoke about this topic earlier this year in one of the Shemesh Shmuel Shirim. We'll take a different Mahalach today. We spoke about it by Rosh Hashanah time. The inner essence of a Jew being essentially good. We're going to go a little different today. That even this Jew who avonoseinu niskalkel v'nisgalgo lav shia eved, he became an eved. Who rak b'shei shanim, for 6 years he's an eved, and the 7th year he goes free. What does that mean? So he says the 6 years are connected to sheish hakitzvos, the 6 sides. Picture a box. Yeah. Picture a die. 6 sides. But there's also sort of a 7th dimension. Where is that? The inside. So you'll say the inside is the place of the greatest captivity. You're surrounded on all sides. But the inside is the part that's actually is free. Right? There's the appearance of a meitzar. You're being trapped on all sides. But there's that 7th dimension, that inner point, that can't really be trapped. It's only superficially it's surrounded. Right? But the point itself, from within itself, is not held in captivity. So too, the Eved Ivri, for 6 years, he's held in captivity. But there's a 7th year in which he goes free. There's a dimension of self that can't be held captive at all. Hurak b'sheish shanim sheim sheish ha-kitzvos. Aval b'shvius, shehi ha-pnimius, shav ubal makoro olam acheres. He goes back to his essential self, which is the world of freedom. V'lechei nemar po b'lashon ivri. So now, says the Avnei Nezer, father of the Shem Yishmuel, now we understand why he's called an Eved Ivri. Don't become so sabrachin by your captivity. You're going to get out. You're guaranteed to get out. Your essence is to be redeemed. You're connected to the Olam of Cheres. And therefore, don't panic. Because the essence of this mitzvah is not, right? The lesson of this mitzvah is not the fact that he's being an Eved. It's the fact that he's, even when he's an Eved, he's still an Ivri. He's still me'aver lanar. Yeah.
The Eved of the 7th year doesn't have to do anything. He just goes free. So, does that mean that you don't want to go free?
Right, that's lo yidach v'meno nidach, the pasuk says. At some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gonna force us back to where we're supposed to be. There was Mashpi and Chabad. I don't remember what sefer I read this in. There was a Mashpi and Chabad who used to tell the Bachrim. He said, you might as well be good Jews. Because if you're not a good Jew this time, Hashem's just going to send you back into Gilgal. And you have to do it again. Meaning, you're going to be forced to play the game until it works. No one's going to be left behind. Yeah, so this Eved Ivri, we're essentially saying, you're guaranteed to go free at some point. Even if you try to fight it, as he's going to. He says, I like my master, I want to stay a little bit longer. At some point, Cheirus. Right? At some point, Yovel comes. So Ein Hachanami, he doesn't really have to do anything. In a certain sense, we're all guaranteed to make it in the end. But this Mashpia used to say, why make yourself crazy? Why do you have to come back and back and back and back? Gilgal achar Gilgal. Just get it right this time and then go enjoy your chelik in the world to come. Okay, so that's the words of the Avnei Nezer. Ulufiza. Yesh lahosif od. Masha dafka ganov nimcha b'gnevaso avalo gazlanu kedome. Why dafka a ganov is sold as an Eved Ivri? Why not a gazlan? What's the difference between a gazlan and a ganov? The gazlan steals openly. The ganov steals secretly. So v'nimka b'gnei vasa. Why do we dafka express this concept of Eved Ivri by the ganov? Someone who's stealing secretly, because he's damaging, so to speak, or he appears to be damaging what? The secret part of himself. He's using his best secret, right, which is his essence, his pnimius, and he's taking the concept of a secret, of a hidden thing, and he's using it to what? To sin. That's really bad. He's undermining the Mahus Yisrael, which is the pnimius shavo. And therefore he has to undergo this what? This reparative process. But again, the punchline is, nimcha b'gnei vaso. You need to be punished for damaging your pnimius, for taking, the concept of something hidden and secret, which again is the essence of the Jew, and using it to steal. But eventually, you're going to go out. Because there's a pnimius from a pnimius. There's an inner part of yourself that remains pure. Look what he says where it's underlined. The gazlan afsha over avera, aval ina mishtamish b'avera zu b'malas Yisrael. When the gazlan does an avera, he does it out in the open. He's using the chitzonius of himself to sin. And that's not pogame. That doesn't cause damage to the essential self. But the Eved Ivri has to be taught, whoa, there's a concept of an essential self. That's the message of the Eved Ivri. That on six sides you're closed in, but there's a seventh dimension that's free. Masha Enkin, Aganov, where he's mishtamish from Mailas Yisrael, he takes the sod, the pnimius, and uses that for an avera. He is the one who needs to learn the lesson of the Eved Ivri. Okay, go to the left-hand column. Uvezei yesh lahavin inyan nirtza shedavka biyovel yotze. Now we understand the concept of what the guy who says, I want to stay on longer. And we pierce his ear, and he sticks around until when? Until yovel. Da'achar she'omer, since he declared, lo etzei chavshi, I don't want to go free. So what happened? In Cain, lo nisorer b'shvias. There was no hisorus of the shvias. There was no at that first opportunity to get out, the pnimius shabo again wasn't awakened. Lakach oved hu arayovel came in sheod lo yatsa meachitonius. He's not yet freed. He hasn't yet freed himself from the chitonius. He has to stay on a little bit longer. We have to dig a little deeper. But eventually, he also goes free. Why? Because every Jew, again, is me'ever lenar laolam. The ever lenar yashra vaseicha me'olam. At some point, we get out. So look what the pasuk says. Look how this person needs to learn his lesson, and again, it's a gradual process. The Eved says, "Ahavti as ishti v'as banai. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my life as an Eved. I love my master." The guy's crazy because his wife's not really his wife, and his children are not really his children, and his master is not really his master. Hashem is his master, and this woman who's been given to him, and the children that he's created with her, are not really his essential children. She's not his essential wife. And working for this master is not his essential avoda. After be'emes she'ein so ishtov, abanim einim banav. Rak ba'asher she'bechitzonius nirash she'ze ishtov, abanim nirim kebanav. Aval be'pnimius, this is not his place, an eved. Avadayim, below avadim la'avadim. What are you doing in eved by someone else? Aval be'pnimius ein lo shum kesher v'schabras imam. And that's why the Torah says, ha'isha viladeha. It doesn't call the Torah, he's talking ishti, banai, the Torah says, no, the woman and her children. It's nothing to do with him. That's not his world. Avalo ishtu banav, v'ushakaro sam ishti, that he calls them my wife, my children, who moral atzmo shadai nimshach achar chitzonius. He's being drawn after chitzonius. He's not acting like a yid, he's not acting like a pnimi. Al kein v'avado le'olam. Therefore, he has to remain in servitude, in captivity, la'olam. La'olam doesn't mean forever, though. La'olam means until when? Until Yovel. Because that la'olam, and again, that's, I think, what the Zohar and Parshas Emor are saying, that la'olam and Na'ar are connected. That even a Jew seems to have moved into that realm of chitzonius la'olam. Now, your la'olam is really by Eivor Lenar. The one who stands up against the world, Avram Ivri. The one who does marches to a different drum beat, so to speak. You're different. And therefore, eventually, you're going to go free, where it's underlined. Ach b'yovel, you're also going to go out. The yovel meramiz le'yovel ha'gadol. To the gula shlema, the achitzonius kolav v'nichla, where the chitzonius is going to be destroyed, right? It's going to be necessity. B'achreach, it has to be that way. Okay, good. Go down to the bottom paragraph now. We connect to Shovim. Because we haven't had a chance to speak a lot about Shovim. And this year, since it's a leap year, it's Shovim Tat, so we have an extra couple weeks to work on Inyanei Shovim. But he's going to talk now to us a little bit about Kedushas Yisrael. Yeah, I'm sorry to mention that yesterday. V'yesh lomar d'inyan zehu gam kein Shabbos. So he says, this Inyan of the Eved Ivri, 6 years of slavery, go out on the seventh. Of course, it's very obvious, the parallel to Shabbos. Dine achet hayadua. Achet hayadua, in any sefer of Hasidus, is a reference to a person who is motzi zera levatala. A person who wastes his seed. Achet hayadua. When a person is involved in sexually immoral behavior, hu ke'en geneva. It's a form of theft. Shu yotze meha moach. Because what has he done? He's taking the zera. The zera, which is deeply connected to his moach. Now, remember yesterday we spoke, I asked you if your finger is you. So we said, well, the finger is sort of me, but it's not the essence of me. And then I said, is your brain more the essence of you, or your finger more the essence of you? So we all felt that our brain is more closely connected to the essence of me, even though my brain is still also not the essence of me. The ability to create a child, anyone who's learned the beginning of the Sefer Tanya knows, that there's a connection between the zera, the seed that's being produced, and the brain. Now, is that true? Is that like medically true? The zera is not actually physically, biologically being formed in your brain and then descending to the lower parts of the body. So I found something a number of years ago that I thought was very interesting. Turn to page 4. I was learning Tanya a couple of years back. I bought one of Rabbi Steinsaltz's Svarim on Tanya, one of the English volumes. It's just interesting. It's just interesting to see how sometimes you come across an idea in Torah, you don't see how it fits into science, and then you take a step back and you see how it actually all fits very nicely. Okay? You see at the top of the page, on page 4, he's quoting where it's that smaller, different font. That's a quote from the Tanya. As it is written, my firstborn son Israel, you are children unto the Lord your God. That is to say, just as a child is derived from his father's brain, so too, to use an anthropomorphism, the soul of each Israelite is derived from God's thought and wisdom. The same way that the child, the physical child, the zera that's going to create, biologically create the child, is formed from the father's brain, so too the neshama, so to speak, comes from the mind of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Another way of saying it comes from the essence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Tanya does. He's working off the Rambam's idea that what? That Hashem is one with his thoughts, as opposed to human beings, where I exist and I have thoughts. Hashem is one with his thoughts. So to say that, so to speak, the neshama comes from Hashem's mind is a way of saying the neshama comes from Hashem's essence. Okay? But is this true? That the zera is actually formed in the mind? So look what Rav Steinsaltz writes. Just interesting. It's a good idea to have. Especially if you're going to learn Tanya, you'll understand it better this way. This allegory is apparently taken from ancient medical science, which believed that the seminal seed originates as an ethereal, near-spiritual substance that comes from the father's brain. As the seed is released from the brain and passes through the body, it gradually coarsens and materializes until it assumes its physical form as a drop of semen. Okay, and then it creates the child. Now look what he writes in the next paragraph. If a contemporary person were to express this concept in terms consistent with our current understanding of the process of procreation, how might he say it? Meaning, in what sense is it true that really the zera is not actually being formed in your brain? But what does it mean that the zera, that really the shoresh of the creation of a person comes from what? From the moach. And therefore, it'll help us to understand that when the Shem Yishmuel says that a person who's motzi zera levatala is what? He's damaging, so to speak, his moach. He's damaging the pnimius shebo, the essence of who he is. So he says, if a contemporary person were to express this idea with our current understanding of the process of procreation, he might say that the pituitary gland in the father's brain generates the hormones that trigger the reproductive gland secretion of the sperm. The pituitary gland does not function automatically, but is activated by an array of sensory and cognitive stimuli that are consciously assimilated and processed. So meaning what? It means a person has a ratzon, has a desire. He wants to have a child. He wants to be with this woman and create a child together. And that desire will trigger, right, as he says here, a variety of sensory and cognitive stimuli, which will get the hormones producing. It will trigger to the body and tell the body to produce the zera. Okay? So it really starts, what you're seeing is it really starts from a very deep place. The concept of the zera, you'll say, why is it any different than, you know, I hate to be like crude for a second, well, how is it different than blowing your nose? How is it different than going to the bathroom? Why is it any different than any other, you know, secretion of liquid from your body? The answer is, because the zera is not stam, just bodily fluid. It's created through one's machshavos, through one's thought, through one's malach, through one's essence. Okay? Very interesting. So go back to Shem Yisrael now on page 1. So he says in the bottom left-hand corner, so when a person is motzi zera levatala, a person does, performs chas v'sham l'cheit ha'yedua, so that's a form of geneva, it's a form of theft, because he's yotze me'amalach, he's ruining his pnimius, the same way that the Eved Ivri is sold, because he didn't respect the pnimius shabo. A person who's motzi zera levatala, he's undermining the mechus yisrael, which is the pnimius shabbat. Ukein hayu bahem. Fine, dilatorin. We skipped that part in the first part, so we'll go on. V'lakach Moshe eved oved b'sheish kein tzarech adam lavod b'sheish shmei amaisa kamor sheish yom tasa masecha. So Shabbos, so to speak, is the return, is the freedom that when the Jew feels boxed in, when he's strayed from the pnimius shabbat, from his essence, Shabbos all of a sudden, now what? He's a free person. Okay, turn the page. Page 2. Ukamosha eved tachas, hashibur etzel acher, kena adam eved la'atzmo. During the week, we're enslaved to ourselves. We're enslaved to our work. We're enslaved to the klala that a person has to work. B'zeh esapecha. Uvezen is hava kol adochach sheik l'sheish l'adam beparnasaso hakol umasachet hazep. And now look what he says. The same way that a person becomes an eved to his taivas and sometimes gives in and he ruins his pnimius, so it's the same way that a person has to go to work during the week. So he says, you know why we have to work so much during the week? The less kedusha we have, the more we have to work. The more kedusha we have, the less we have to involve ourselves as an eved to the world. My parnasa is directly connected to my kedushas yisrael. Now, can I prove that to you? Can we do a study on that and try to figure that out? No, but the tzaddikim say it, so we'll believe it. A person who acts with greater kedusha has an easier time coming to parnasa. He's less of an eved. The same way he's less of an eved to his taivas. Ukimbo, look what he writes, where it's underlined. Shekol ha-galus ha-klalis ba-avur ha-chet hazeh. All of galus is caused by this particular chet. As the Arizal says, ki ger ya zaracha. You know why you're a ger? You know why you're wandering? You know why there's galus? Because of the zera. Shekol ha-geris va-galus va-shibur u-machmas chet ha-zera. Unbelievable. So kamo kain, ha-shibur ha-prati. So to your individual shibur, to yourself, working. Sheyesha kol ish v'ish betirdas mizonosav. That's also caused by this chet. So how do you come to a tikkun? You come to a tikkun on Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not working, and Shabbos, hopefully, a person is living with greater kedusha. That's why the Gemara Dafka says the Talmidei Chachamim are intimate with their wives on Friday night on Leil Shabbos. It's a zman of kedusha sabris. Acha tikkun lezeh b'Shabbos. Right? Kom lachter asui. I don't have to go to work on Shabbos. The Shabbos he yomad in ishmasa she pnimius. It's the pnimius Shabbat, a restoration of self. Lakach yotze, and therefore a person goes free. That's what Shabbos offers us. Okay, and he ends the piece by connecting it to Shkalim, which it was in the year that he gave this piece. But I think for the sake of time, since it has to be a little shorter today, I have to get to Rishnal in 25 minutes from now. So we'll pause there. Okay, let's turn to page 5. And be machazik ourselves in this idea of being a pnimi. Of being a pnimi. That I want to be a person who's connected to the pnimius. And I want to acknowledge the fact that it's really the thing that makes us so special. So much so, that without bragging, the Umas HaOlam feel left out. They feel that we got the inside track. You know why? Because we did. Again, you always have to say the Lachain, and therefore, right? I mean, you can't stop at Klal Yisrael are chosen, and therefore, right? You have to say what the therefore is. When people say, oh, you think you're better? You think Jews are better? Isn't that racist? So that's why I always have to say, well, we are the chosen people, and therefore what? I want to just make this point, because it could come up in life, and it's important to have this answer. When someone says to you, I heard the Jews think that they're God's children, they're the chosen nation. They think they're better. Don't you think that's kind of dangerous? So you say, no, it's not dangerous because there's a therefore. Meaning, when Hitler Yimach Shemo says that the Nazis, that the Aryan race is the ideal race, what was the therefore? The therefore was, we're going to round up Jews and murder them. What's our therefore? We're the chosen people, and therefore what? We feel the greatest achrayus to make the world a wonderful place. Right? So the therefore is very important. If the therefore is we're gonna chop off your heads like ISIS, so then we become as dangerous and as radical as any other. But if we hold ourselves to be the best, and therefore we want to make the world, we want to help the world in the best way possible, okay. And if you want to join us, by the way, join us. It's not an exclusive club. You can sign up. Anyone who wants to sign up can sign up. We've taken personal responsibility for the world. You can join us. That shouldn't be offensive to anyone. Okay, it's an important ha'ara to just make. Okay, so says the Shem Yishmuel, but the nations of the world are jealous of us because we have the pneumius of the world. He says on page 5, Hey asfu v'agid alachem es asher yikra eschem ba'achas hayamim. Yaakov in Parshas Vayechi calls together the children. I want to tell you what's going to be in the end of days. And of course, Yaakov wasn't so successful in relaying that message. But Chazal in the Medrash see, what did he want to talk about? What was the end of days that Yaakov wanted to talk about? Rabbi Simon Amar, he wanted to talk about the downfall of Gog and Magog. Right? Mapeles Gog Heralehem. He wanted to show them, or he did show them, the downfall of Gog. As the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, what did Yaakov want to show the Shvatim? Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Heralehem. As the Pasuk says at the beginning of Yeshaya, Okay. So what's the pshat? Hey Asfu, gather together, and I want to tell you about the downfall of Gog. I want to tell you about Binyan Beis HaMikdash. What's going on here? Yaakov Avinu wanted to be Megala, the pneumius of Klal Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, to the Shvatim. Rav Acher Amar, the Medrash says, Hey Asfu, Rav Acher Amar, Hitaru, purify yourselves. Rabbanan Amru, Tzivo Osam Al Machlokas. Don't fight with one another. What's going on? What's this whole sugi here? What's happening here? What's Medrash reading into here? So says the Shem Yishmuel, Upei Rashnu Dishneim L'davar Echad Iskavnu. It's all one thing. Everyone's saying the same thing. With just various expressions of the same idea. Ki eich efshar shiu kula masifa achas. Halo ein daitam shal b'nei adam shavos. What does it mean, hey asfu, gather together? Can we ever truly gather together? What does it mean we were ki'ish achad b'lev achad in our Sinai? Don't we believe that no two people are alike? Ein daitam shavos, no two people look alike, the Gemara says. No two people think alike, the Gemara says. So what do you mean, hey asfu? Says the Shem Yishmuel, 3 lines from the bottom. When a Jew focuses not on the chitzonius of himself, but he gets his heart in the right place, he focuses on the inner essence of himself. Top of the column, merkaz echad. Everyone's focused on one thing. Get back to the pneumius. Put your soul back into what? Back tachas kisei hakavod, when it was all together, when we were all one entity. And through that aguda achas, we can have geula. Hayasfu, ve'agid lachem. Now, what did Rabbi Simon mean when he said Yaakov wanted to show the downfall of Gog and Magog? Rabbi Simon explained. Al kainam Rabbi Simon mapeles Gog haralem. Hainu al pi mashehigir avi admor zatzal. He quotes again from his father. The Avnei Nezer explained. Have a look at this, where it's underlined. Sheyefes ein lo achiza ella bichitzonius. Yefes, as we spoke Hanukkah time, the arch rival of Klal Yisrael, the reason the Yavanim were so threatening, the dangerous, most dangerous Gullus in many respects, was Gullus Yavan, that world of Yefes, were the world of shame. Shame, of course, means inner essence. A name is one's inner essence. So if your name is name, that's a good sign. That means you're very pnimi. As we've said many times, look at the word neshama. What are the middle letters of the word neshama? The pnimius of the word neshama is shame. So your name is mamish, the inside, shabba inside of a person. That's the most inner dimension. So Yefes looks at Klai Yisrael and they're frustrated. Because Yefes only has an achiza, they only grasp onto what? Chitzonius. Where did that come from? You remember where it came from. That Yefes helps shame in taking what? The beget to cover over Noach. So look what the Shame Shmuel says. Let me explain what my father meant by that. That Yefes is chitonius and we're pnimius. V'yesh od lahosib b'zeh dvarim. Shebemedrish sham. Sheshem nis'ameitz b'mitzvah. V'yefes nimshach achrav. That shame was the one who had the idea, who had the moach of what to do for Noach. The moach for Noach. And Yefes helped just carry the garment. Ah, so that's very different. One is thinking internally and one is acting externally. Im kein kol his oris shiba pnimius hanefesh haisa kula yidei shame. So we, Klal Yisrael, shame, the descendants of shame, we're the world of pnimius. V'yefes shenimshach achrav who built the isamps with his oris pnimius, Yefes who just went through the motions with his guf to cover over Noach's guf, al kein ein lo achiz al b'chisonius, val kein lo asid, sheyagia azman sheyisrael yagil madregasa, sheyim pnimiyim, Tisor b'yefes ruach kina. So as we get closer and closer to Mashiach, and the inner essence of a Jew gets more and more refined, even if externally we've actually become worse, you could say. You read the Sedaros. But internally, as we saw in the past, that the Rav Tzadok brings, from Rav Simcha Bunim, that the Nekuda Shabo gets pure and pure with each passing generation. So the world starts to it's not like us again. The world starts to hate us because they're jealous of us. The Yefes of the world is frustrated. There's this kina, a ruach of kina that comes over them. That they're caught on the outside track trying to get in. And we're mamish the inside track. And therefore, by Milchemes Gog u'Magog, Heyasfu, if a Jew turns inward, then there can be the Mapala of Gog u'Magog, Gog u'Magog. Right? The descendants of that world of Yefes. And their bodies will be offered kvura. That was the promise, like Rashi says in Chumash. Okay? So that's Rabbi Simon's Shita. Go down a few lines. Rabbi Yehuda said what in the Medrash? Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Which is really the same thing. It's really the same thing that Rabbi Simon is saying. Just going deeper. It's not just that we're going to get rid of the Chitzonius of the world. We're going to defeat Gog and Magog. But we're going to come to the Pnimius of the world, which of course is the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Binyan Beis HaMikdash Haralem. Shalola Vara Saras Hamonei. We're not just going to remove the bad guys. Ela Etzem Alasim Adregasim Shei Yisrael. The Pnimius of Yisrael, which is expressed through Binyan Beis HaMikdash, is going to emerge. And then he says, take a look at the bottom paragraph. V'nei Shabbos hi Pnimius Shebe Pnimius Yom Adidash Masa. Let's come full circle again. Shabbos. Shabbos is our day of Pnimius. And therefore, you'll have a new, if you sing Zmiros on Shabbos, you'll have a new understanding, a beautiful new understanding of one of the lines that we sing on Shabbos. On Shabbos, what? Look what he says. Al kein ein binyan beis hamikdash docha Shabbos. Why is binyan beis hamikdash not docha Shabbos? Binyan beis hamikdash, it's the pnimis of Yisrael. It's the makom of Shechina. The answer is because Shabbos is even more pnimi. I don't need beis hamikdash on Shabbos. And therefore, look. Uvizei yesh lefarish. We sing in the Zmiros. Ohavei Hashem. Hamechakim bebinyan Ariel. We want the beis hamikdash. But b'yom haShabbos. Sisu v'simchu k'mekabli matanachlil. On Shabbos, I don't feel necessarily that same need for the Beis HaMikdash. You know why? Because I have the Beis HaMikdash. I'm within the Beis HaMikdash of time, which is Shabbos. Dinei Yisrael matan tara alu azma drega gavoa ma'ol. Like Gemara and Sota says that each person was a Beis HaMikdash. V'shachanti b'socha. Shem says, I want to dwell inside of you. On Shabbos, that's the Metzias. Yom adinish masa. What do you mean? What do you think the Shem Yisera means? The Neshama Yisera means that there's more Hashem dwelling in you on Shabbos. Neshama is your chelek alokam imal. On Shabbos, there's more of Hashem dwelling inside you. You know why? Because you're a Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, Shabbos is the day of Pnimius, and the Umas Olam are jealous of us. That's why a non-Jew can't keep Shabbos. Because he's that world of Chitzonis. He's not Zoche to the world of Shabbos. He's not Roy to the world of Shabbos. Okay, I told you, the title of today's year is Being a Pnimi. And I picked that title, obviously, because of what the Shem Yishmuel just taught us. But I really picked that title because of the following story, which is unbelievable. It took me a long time to track this one down, but I was able to find it in print, and I'm happy I did. In the Toras Menachem, Okay, and the Zvad is Tavshin Nun Aleph from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says a pitgam, right, from the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. Look what he writes here. Kia on page 6. Kia dua pisgam, quote, Kedushas Admor, Nishmaso Aidin the Rashab. Right? Roshalom Dovber of Lubavitch, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. Benimsar, and we know this teaching, Al Yedei Beno Yechido Mamali Makomo, we know it from his one and only son, which was who? The sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Rebbe Rayatz. Okay, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson. That the Rebbe Rashab said the following. Look what he says here. Shepnimi. We don't say that a Jew has pnimis. That's already degrading to the essence of a Jew. Not a Jew has pnimis. A Jew is a pnimi. Being a pnimi. What does it mean to be a pnimi? She pnimi kol davar shu osa harei shakua bezeh legamri. A pnimi is a person. So now someone's going to say, and Gurin brought it up last week when we were talking about being in multiple places at once. You're in class, but you're trying to get out of class. Right? You're in the marketplace, but you're daydreaming about the Beis Medrash. So we spoke about it a little bit in last week's year. The idea from the Majid Tzerebi, Alei Alei Hahar, come up the mountain, V'hayesham. Why do you have to say V'hayesham? And be there. Because a person can be somewhere and not really be there. So the Rebbe Rashab said, a Jew who's sensitive to the Pnimius Shabo, a Jew who's worthy of the title of being called a Pnimi, called Davar Shu'oza, anything that he does, he puts his entire being into. When did the Rashab say this? So here's what happened. Look at the mice. Pam Achas Bizvadis Hirgish quote Kedushas Admor. The Rebbe Rashab one time was preparing to say a mimer. Now, to hear a mimer in Chassidus from the Rebbe Rashab is a big deal. It's very exciting. You would also be excited. You'd be anxious to hear the mimer. So people came, they gathered by the Rebbe. Now, by Chabad and by many, right? Before the Rebbe delivers his Divrei Torah, you sing a little. And depending on whether it's a mimer or a sichel, depending on the intensity of what's being presented, the nigunim are going to reflect that as well. So right before the Rebbe Rashab gave the mimer, there was a nigun they would sing. So the Rebbe noticed, look what happened. Kagdama l'mashiyavo. He realized one time. Pamachas bezvadus. Hirgish. The Rashab realized. Shabachrim minagnim nigun bechipazon. They were singing the nigun too fast. Why are they singing the nigun too fast? They wanted to hear the mimer. They were thirsty for the Rebbe's Torah. So the Rebbe said, No. You can't do that, because then you're singing the nigun what in a chitzoni way. And the Rebbe Rashab said, because a pnimi. A person who's a pnimi does what? Whatever he's working on fully. He's not only doing it superficially. He's not like Yefes, who's covering over Noach because he's embarrassed, his father's drunk and naked. Shame is thinking about the fullness of what's going on with Noach. He's the one about the machshava, the moach, of what to do about Noach's disgraceful situation. So Rebbe Rashab stopped the niggin, and he gave a whole presentation about what it means to be a pnimi. Yeah? So when they were singing the nigun, Kalkdama Lamashiyavu Lachar Nigun, they were singing it quickly because they wanted to get to the mimer. Turn the page, top of page 7. V'hiktish lezeh sicha shlema. So the Rebbe Rashab gave an entire sicha. Shetochnahu Shebavodaso Shal Yehudi Tzarechu La'asos Kol Davar B'Shlemus. A Jew can't be operating in a chitzoni fashion. It's not what we are. Even the Eved Ivri, who's forced to take on the world of 6 years of slavery, but eventually he's Yatza L'Chavshi, because that's his essence. Chayrus Olam. We're from Eivar Anar. We're free people. Shetoch Lehi, so he dedicated this whole mimer that the avoda of a Jew is to do everything you do b'shalemus. When the Belzer Rebbe was a little kid, one time he was stopped on the street by someone, and he said, do you have the time? It was like right around his bar mitzvah, and he got a watch for his bar mitzvah. I hope I'm telling the story right. It's in one of the volumes of Alein L'Shabach, of Zilberstein. So he looks at his watch, and he says, the time is 10, 32, and 14 seconds, and 15 seconds, and 16 seconds, right? So the guy says to him, oh, look at you with your fancy watch. You're showing off. He says, no. He says, my father told me that when you do a chesed for a person, you do it fully. You want to know what time it is? I'll tell you exactly what time it is. That's being a pnimi. That's giving your whole self to everything that you do. Even when you're doing something which is really just a hakdama to the thing that comes after, you're singing the niggun that comes before the mimer. But right now you're holding by the niggun. But I want to get to Rashi, I want to get to Tosos, and I want to get to Bechulu Bechulu. I want to see what Rav Elchanan Wasserman has to say about this. Okay, but right now you're trying to just read a pasuk in Chumash. And there you'll understand the Gemara. And then you'll start to understand the Rishonim. And to be fully where you're supposed to be. Wherever you're holding now, that's where you need to fully be. This is a tremendous principle. What a chush of line. The place that you are, you need to really be there. That the makom that you are there, tzrichim lios ba'emes, you really need to be there. B'makom shenimtzam tzrichim lios, kol zman she'osek ani bazeh, tzarech ani lios kan. If I'm supposed to be there, then I'm supposed to be there. U'lacharei zeh yavo l'inyan sheni, and then I'll come to a second thing. V'yesh lomar she'yesod hazeh b'nigla de Torah, hu mevior hanizkor le'el me'agon haragat shavi. Now, if you learn through this whole piece in the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he quotes the Ragachover as he loved to do. So, what's he referring to? So I gave you the Ragachover. Turn to page 8. The Ragachover in Parshas Maaseh. Where do you see in the Torah this idea that you have to be in the place that you are one step at a time before you go on to the next step? On page 8. Rav Yosef Rosen, the Halakha Ragachover. He writes in Parshas Maaseh, Vayichta Moshe Motzei El Maaseh. Why does the Torah record all the stops along the way? Just tell us where we're trying to get to. This is where we started, this is where we ended up. I need all the journeys. What's a lomar? Says the Ragachover. The Chol Mitzius Halicha Min Makom L'Makom. You should know, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, Yeshiv University, is directly responsible for some of the printing of the Ragachover Sfarim, the Tzachnas Paneach. So it's a chashuv thing to learn a dafka here in YU. So the Ragachover said, "Dechol mitzias halicha min makom lemakom." That the going from place to place, iikar kavana bia lemakom hasheni or yitzia mikan. Right, meaning the question the Ragachover is addressing, even in halacha, is it just about getting there, or are the steps along the way considered chashuv? V'kan hava mitzvah gam etzem halicha. That the halicha is also a part of the mitzvah. What are the steps in bringing a carbon? First you shech the animal. Then you're what? You recobble the blood. Then you do what? Then you do halicha. You take it to the base. You take it to the mizbeach. And then what? Zrika. You sprinkle the blood. Why is halicha one of the steps? Why don't I just shech closer to the mizbeach and then I have to walk to all across the room? The answer is because the halicha is one of the steps. And by the way, the halachos that apply to other parts, the other seemingly more essential steps, apply to the halicha as well. So in halacha, you see that what? You see that the process is also part of the mitzvah. Because if you're up to halicha, then you're not up to zrika yet. If you're up to the niggin, you're not up to the mimer yet. And a person has to be, that's what it means to be a pnimi. To be where you're supposed to be. Klal Yisrael are pnimi. On page 9, Rav Uri of Strelitz, the holy Saraf of Strelitz, the fiery one from Strelitz, he writes in Parash Bechukosai, a very sad pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy Klal Yisrael. V'shlachti b'chem eschayes asada. V'shikla eschem. It's going to cause all sorts of damage. V'chrisi es behemtechem. V'imita eschem. V'noshamu darchechem. Now, noshamu can be a lesson of shmama, of desolation. But noshamu, in Pnimius, could also be read in the Pnimi way. Nashamu could be a lashon of neshama. V'nashamu darcheicha means what? If your whole world is falling apart, maybe it's because what? You're being a chitzoni. You're not being a Pnimi. Perish ki'ilu ksiv v'neshama darcheicha. Al yidei ha-pasach b'chol derachecha de'eyu. Let your derech be, walk in the ways of a neshamadic person. Kein ha-kavan ha-kan. Shemazir oso shtia kol asakenu asher anu oskim rak avor ha-neshama kadosha letar l'kadish osa. Am I focused on my neshama, or am I just going through the motions in a chitzoni type of way? We mamash don't have a lot of time. Let's go to page 11 for a second. Reb Leib Chasman, Reb Yehuda Leib Chasman. One year on Rosh Hashanah, he got up. This is brought in the Marbitzei Torah Musar. He got up one year on Rosh Hashanah, and he gave the following speech by the Tekiyos of Rosh Hashanah. Rabboisai, Hinei atem boim lebeis Hashem biyom adin. You're standing here, you have Hashem's audience. Now we always have Hashem's audience. But Rosh Hashanah, we feel a little more lifnei Hashem. What does it mean to be more lifnei Hashem? I thought we're always lifnei Hashem. Okay. But Rosh Hashanah, we feel more lifnei Hashem. Yom Kippur, we're more lifnei Hashem. You've got the chance to ask for things. So what are you going to ask for? Biyom zeh mekudash. Hayachid b'shanah. Nidna lachem ha'izdamnus ha'mafla v'char pa'amis. Lishpoach siach lifnei avichem shabash shamayim. You can ask for anything you want. Levaki shemeno al nafsho seichem. Not just to ask for your bodies, to ask for your nefesh. Val nefesh mishpacho seichem. V'nei magios tfilo seichem v'kasho seichem l'shari shamayim. It's going to go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uman nishma behen. Right, Hashem wants to hear, what are they asking for? What are Yidden thinking about at this lofty time? Please give me tapuche adama. I could use a few more potatoes. So he says, that is a complete waste of an opportunity. You have to daven for your pnimius. That's you. Before you talk about the chitzonius of you, let's talk about the pnimius of you. How could I cry out at such a time? Hashem, I need more kemach. I need some more beans. V'heichan ha'neshama shalachem. He said to the people, I know on Rosh Hashanah you're thinking about your parnasa. But what about davening for your neshama? Heichan hayadus shalachem. Are you davening over your Yiddishkeit? Are you davening that I should be a pnimi because that's the mahus of Yisrael? That even an Eved Ivri is not an Eved Yisrael, but he's an Eved Ivri? Because the Ivri Shabo maintains its place? Chitzonius in Yiddishkeit is one of the biggest problems that I think we all are very much aware of. You can go years and years and years and years and be the most superficial Jew. And since this Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, I want to bring to your attention, I can't read the whole thing now, I only have 3 minutes left, but an article that was printed in 2010 in the Jewish press by a Rav from my community, Rabbi Stephen Przanski, Congregation B'nai Yeshurun in Teaneck. Chevra, if you want to feel like you're in the presence of the Kutzker, since it was his yard site recently, just read this article. It is mamish fire on paper. He talks about there between orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Orthodox means to have frum hashkafas, to have frum values. Orthopraxy means I want to be religious in practice. And he puts it in the context. Again, I don't know what people... If anyone cares about the Super Bowl or not, I don't, but I'm sure some of you may watch the game or care about sports still. So just put it in the context of this article a little bit. A few months ago, football's New York Jets willingly accommodated Jewish fans by moving their home opener from the evening to the early afternoon of the same day. That evening, Yom Kippur would have presumably found thousands of Jets faithful in shul, and not at the Meadowlands or glued to their television sets. So that was very nice that the Jets were willing to have the sensitivity to move their home opener so that Jews could be able to go to shul on Yom Kippur. Says Rabbi Przanski by the Star, that is a sad commentary on the spiritual state of some of our fellow Jews, and begs the question, is it any less contemptible to spend 3 hours on Erev Yom Kippur, fascinated by grown men pounding each other in pursuit of moving an oval-shaped pigskin across a goal line, than it would be to do the same on Yom Kippur night? Not really. The only difference is that there would be no technical violation of the rules of Judaism to do right to so while away one's time on Erev Yom Kippur. So I would never do it on Yom Kippur, but it's mutar on Erev Yom Kippur. And he goes on and he says, that's called being orthoprax. That's called, I have to just stay within the letter of the law, the chitzonius, and my pnimius is completely rotten. And he goes on again, I don't have time to read it all, just read it where it's underlined. Right? He's describing, what's an orthoprax Jew look like? They are the Jews who will come to shul, but barely daven. You ever wonder, those people, like, why do you have to come to shul to talk to your friend? Why can't you just invite your friend over for kiddush at your house Shabbos morning and spend time? Why do you have to come and, like, be loud so that I can't hear Kriyas Torah? Because you're orthoprax. You want to feel like you're doing the right thing. So if I step into the building on Shabbos morning, I'm Yoytze Zayin. Turn to page 13. They are the Jews who are nominally Shomrei Shabbos. They would never drive to shul, but they will look for ways to swim or play tennis or baseball on Shabbos, or encourage their children to do the same. They'll leave their televisions on. Right? The orthopraxy, or it's underlined, will do good works. But those are socially useful and divorced from any sense of divine worship. It's mamish, it's very harif what he has here. Go to the last page. Go to page 14. And he says, parents who live this way create children who, at best, live this way, right? Or hopefully go to Eretz Yisrael for a year and get inspired by Jews who are living more authentically. Or they become completely irreligious because they say, what's the point of that? The next generation decides it's not worth it. Worse, our youth are very sensitive to this double game, and some become disenchanted. They internalize the corrupt idea that in Judaism, externals count for everything and sincerity for nothing. It's ma'ash amachla, because you're undermining the Mahus Yisrael. The Mahus Yisrael is that what? That Ivri. That we're from, where that we were always on the opposite side of the river. That if the whole world is b'chitonius, we're b'pnimius. I want to just add, in the last page, is a picture. I made you a little picture this morning of the Sabbath Rebbe and Mike Tress, or Beli Melech Tress. And I want to end with a little story that I think captures everything we said today. You know, as you can see, Rabbi Elimelech Tress was involved in all sorts of good communal work for the Jewish people, was a clean-shaven person. And the Satmar Rebbe and his followers obviously were people who went in Hasidish Levush with long beards and peis. And the Satmar Rebbe had tremendous, tremendous respect and love for Rabbi Elimelech Tress. But the Hasidim couldn't be sold with the fact that, look, he looks like a modern person. He's dressed in modern clothing. So they once came to the Sam Rebbe and they said, "No, Rebbe, how do you talk? How do you hang out with such a Jew? Doesn't he have a beard? No long payas, no beard." And the Sam Rebbe famously said, "He said when Rebbe Elimelech Tress gets to the Olam Emes, Hakadosh Baruch is going to say to him, Tayyar Yid, Jew, no, where's your beard? Where's your beard? Jew should go with a beard." He says, "But I'm afraid that by you guys," Sam Rebbe said to the Hasidim, "Hashem's going to say to you, beard, where's the Yid? B'chitzonius, you got it down. But where's the Yehudi Shabo? Where's the Pnimius Shabo? Are you living like a Pnimi? Or are you just racing from one thing to the next so I can get to the things that I really want to do, the Pnimius of what I really desire, and just stay within the halachic framework of what's acceptable?" So Mir Tashem, we should all be Zocha. We should be Zocha to be fully aware, like we saw from the Chidush Erim, that there can't be Avdus unless there's Chayrus. Which means to whatever degree we're still not living like Pnimium, it's only because we haven't chosen yet. But it's entirely possible for us to live in the world of Cheres. And Amir Tashem, as we continue to choose Cheres, we'll be zochet to see the Cheres Olam with Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mehera B'yameinu Amen.